From NPR and WBUR, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, are the little green Russian men back in eastern Ukraine? We'll explain.
But first, President Obama is in Myanmar or Burma today, where he called on that country's president to keep moving forward on democratic reforms by holding elections next year and respecting the rights of the country's persecuted Muslim minority. Burma is the second stop on the president's trip, which will end with a G20 summit in Australia this weekend. The first stop in China yielded some key agreements, including one on reducing the gases that are behind global warming, and we've heard about that, and one to eliminate tariffs on many technology products, which the White House says will boost U.S. exports and create as many as 60,000 new jobs. The agreement has to be approved by the World Trade Organization, but it is getting bipartisan support in Congress, with Utah's Republican Senator Orrin Hatch saying it would be a big win for American manufacturers of cutting-edge technologies. Perhaps he is talking there about his constituent, Ray Kimber, who founded a company called Kimber Cable in Ogden, Utah. Mr. Kimber, thanks for joining us, and tell us about your company and what it makes.
We manufacture the cables that would hook up, say, loudspeakers to amplifiers, and like HDMI cables, so video cables. We have products that cost from a few dollars a foot to over $1,000 a foot. So we go right from the ordinary cables that you might buy at a local hi-fi store all the way to luxury goods. And I've been a member of the Consumer Electronics Association, which produces the CES show in Las Vegas, for many years, have been lucky enough to serve on their volunteer audio board, where the size difference in the companies might be 1,000,000 to 1.
And you founded this company as disco was pretty hot, right?
Yes, this is true. I was involved with a company in Los Angeles that was installing some of the largest systems down there right at the start of Saturday Night Fever. Problem was, lots of noise into the sound system from the flashing lights. And so I came up with the idea to counter-rotate a braided cable that would naturally have very good noise rejection, and we were off and running.
And it's lasted all these years?
It has. We're growing very, very nicely.
Well, so you're a big fan of this agreement. Tell us how it's going to affect you.
Well, I believe it will affect our sales. We're a small company. We have about 30 employees, but the reality is that 70%, more or less, of our entire business is exported. And so it really makes a difference if we have to deal with uneven or unfair trade practices in some of the countries. And it deprives consumers that would live in those countries the opportunity to use our product.
So how much of a boost do you think that you're going to be able to get through this agreement?
Well, on a country-by-country basis, it could be significant. For instance, in India and Brazil, for example, that have crushingly high tariffs, we think that our business could multiply by 10 times or more.
What about China?
China is very interesting. We are already exporting into China. Our specific product doesn't have that problem with China. It falls into a niche product market. But everything else that our cables hook up, the loudspeakers and amplifiers made by my fellow companies in the Consumer Electronics Association, that would be dramatically affected, and that would in turn dramatically increase our products also.
When you say unfair trade practices, what are you talking about? Because a lot of people think that this kind of agreement is going to lead to unfair practices, because there are going to be certain countries that don't have the same level of regulation, that don't pay their workers as much as we do, and it's going to put U.S. companies and small businesses at a disadvantage.
I see that argument, and I believe that it, to some extent it could be true, but to fix the tariff situation will actually encourage innovation and inventiveness in the countries that now have the high tariffs. Take Brazil, for example. We literally can't economically have our products there because the companies that would import them would have to pay so much in tariff, it would crush them. If someone has an idea to make a competitive product to ours in Brazil, they might very well do it, but they would have an unrealistic idea of what their product would sell for in the market. So they may survive for a time domestically in Brazil, But the instant that they tried to go to an international market to grow their business, they would discover that they cannot compete. And so I think this actually assists the competitiveness, both economic and technical, in an industry like ours.
But it also means there's going to be a lot more competition in this country, right? For Chinese companies, for example, who want to sell their technology products in the U.S., it'll be easier for them to do that.
That is true. And if you artificially suppress innovation and efficiencies, it's ultimately not good for the consumer. And I'm pretty confident that me and my guys can keep up with that innovation. Now, that being said, if a government is subsidizing artificially supporting an industry, then that is not fair.
Ray Kimber, founder of Kimber Cable in Ogden, Utah. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are welcome.